Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the risen Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. To be continued. Oh my goodness, but I so did not like to see those words as a kid. They came, of course, at the end of a television program or a movie, and it usually meant that I would have to wait at least another week and sometimes whole months if it was the season finale to see how something urgent would get resolved. So whether I was waiting to see whether Greg Brady would survive his surfing accident on the Brady Bunch, or whether the Fonz would make it over the shark tank on water skis on Happy Days, or Sam and Diane would get together one more time on Cheers, and I know that I am totally dating myself with all those references. Whatever it was, when I saw those three words, it meant that there was going to be a whole lot of waiting until I would see what would happen next. Of course, that wasn't always bad, although it took me a long time to realize that, because it also meant that the story you loved wasn't over. So even if you had to wait a while, it was usually worth it. And even when those words didn't appear at the bottom of the screen but were only implied, it promised that there was still more to come. And that was exciting. Think for a moment about the ending of the original Star Wars movie. You know, when the Death Star is destroyed, sure. Oh, spoiler alert. But when you see Darth Vader regain control of his spaceship and fly off into the dark universe, you know he's going to be back. And that means more movies. Or consider the last episode of season 5 of Game of Thrones when Jon Snow dies. And you just know, or at least at that point, you really, really hope that his story isn't over yet. So while those to-be-continued moments can be frustrating, they can also be exciting, even hopeful. And either way, there are few things more fun than watching the beginning of a follow-up episode that you've been waiting for a while. Well, the first reading that we heard a few moments ago actually is the beginning of that kind of follow-up story. They're the first verses of the book we call the Acts of the Apostles, or just Acts for short. And they're written by St. Luke, the same guy who wrote the gospel that bears his name. You might have noticed that Acts begins a lot like the Gospel of Luke does, which was our gospel reading this morning. At the beginning of each of those stories, St. Luke mentions Theophilus, likely a friend or patron or fellow believer. In fact, at the beginning of Acts, Luke provides a bit of a segue or bridge between his two books by writing, "In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all the things Jesus did and taught from the very beginning." And then Luke tells Theophilus and the rest of us about Jesus' ascension, the story that we heard at the end of the gospel last week, and Jesus' instructions to his disciples that they should remain and wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes to them. All of this serves as a setup to Luke's continuing story of the church and its mission to share the good news of Jesus. Now, having spent December through May reading and preaching on Luke's gospel with you, I've noticed that Luke really likes those to be continued kind of moments, as he has a number of them spread throughout his gospel. And as with our favorite television show or movie, these scenes come at critical times of dramatic tension and suspense, and they always give the storyteller a chance to continue the story, often in a surprising way. Take, for instance, right near the beginning of the gospel, when Zechariah and Elizabeth, way too old to become parents, are promised a son. Zechariah simply doesn't believe and loses his ability to speak because of his disbelief. It's a to-be-continued moment, followed then by Elizabeth's conception, the birth of John the Baptist, and 9 months later, Zechariah regaining his speech in order to praise God and give thanks. Their story wasn't over yet. Something similar happens with Mary. Visited by the angel Gabriel, she simply cannot comprehend how or why she would be chosen to bear God's son. And so she is terrified. How can this be? What will Joseph and the rest of her family think? But her story isn't over either. It continues. Maybe the most important to-be-continued moment of Luke's gospel comes at the very end of chapter 23, when Luke describes Jesus' death. After the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, you'll remember, everything else seems to go wrong. As Jesus is rejected by the authorities, deserted by his disciples, tried before Pilate and Herod, crucified. And then Luke reports that Jesus bows his head, gives up his spirit, dies, and that his body is taken from the cross to be buried in a tomb nearby. Luke finishes that part of the story by saying, "Now the women who had come with him from Galilee followed, and they saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments, and on the Sabbath they rested, according to the commandment." They thought Jesus' story was over, and were preparing to do him one final honor by anointing his dead body. But it turns out that what felt like a dreadful ending was only another to-be-continued moment. As early on Sunday morning, they would go to the tomb and find that tomb empty and hear the news that Jesus had been raised, and his story and the story of God's love for the world was not yet over. In the same way, the Acts of the Apostles, which is the book we'll be reading through and preaching on this summer, isn't actually a whole new book, but instead is the continuing story that Luke wants to tell about what God is up to, because the story of God's work to love and bless the world is not finished yet. Gracie Allen spent the better part of her life partnered with her husband, George Burns. They were partners in a long-running comedy vaudeville act, then a radio show, television program, and several movies. They were also partners in the rest of their lives, adopting two children together and raising them in the Catholic Church, and also navigating a variety of personal and professional challenges together. When Gracie grew ill at a relatively young age because of heart disease, she began to worry about George that he might give up hope after she passed. And so she wrote him a number of letters to encourage him. In the very last letter that Gracie penned to her beloved husband, she wrote, "Never place a period where God has placed a comma." I think St. Luke would agree. In fact, I think all of those to-be-continued moments scattered across his gospel and now in Acts are there to remind us that because of God's great love for us, there's always more to the story than we might imagine. Sometimes that's really clear. This morning we celebrated our graduating seniors. They are finishing their high school careers and starting a new chapter in their lives at college or serving in the military or in the workforce. That's a joyous to-be-continued moment, and we look forward to hearing more about how their story unfolds. But at other times, it is a lot harder to sense God's promise that our story will continue. When we or a loved one recognizes a problem with alcohol, for instance, it can feel like the end. And yet the very admission of a problem turns it into a to-be-continued moment and allows our story to continue with the help of God's grace and love and the support of God's people. So also, when an important relationship comes to an end, when we lose a job, When we or a loved one falls deeper into the grip of depression, all of these moments can feel like an ending. But St. Luke, through his gospel and now in Acts, reminds us that God is not finished, that the story continues, and that we should not place a period where God has put a comma. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a Lutheran pastor and theologian imprisoned by the Nazis for his work to aid Jews and for his part in a plot to overthrow Hitler. On Sunday, April the 8th of 1945, less than a week before the Allied forces would liberate the concentration camp where he was held, and just after he had concluded leading a worship service for other prisoners, Bonhoeffer was taken out into the prison yard and hanged. On the way out, he whispered to another prisoner, "This is the end, but for me, the beginning of life. Christ's resurrection, Bonhoeffer realized, had transformed even death from a period into a comma. But while that kind of confidence seemed characteristic of Bonhoeffer, who across his 2 years in prison was known for encouraging his fellow prisoners, his diary from those days revealed that he struggled mightily at times with doubt and despair, failing to understand the atrocities that were being committed in his country and struggling to understand why the church he loved so much did so little to stop them. His writings also shared, however, how important it was for him to be surrounded by the other prisoners, by other believers, because those he encouraged, it turned out, were also incredibly important, even crucial, as they in turn encouraged him. Which is why we gather together week in and week out as well. As through the scripture readings, sermon and song, and especially in the fellowship and community we share together, we hear again God's promise that the story is not over yet. Sometimes that's easy to hear and believe, and we can be an encouragement to others. And sometimes it's really, really hard. And then we discover others here at church eager to encourage and support us. And through it all, we discover, like Bonhoeffer, that in and through the community of Christ gathered together, God comes to us once again and makes us a promise. God is not finished yet. It's a comma, not a period, because the story continues. And you, we, all of us, have an incredibly important part still to play. Thanks be to God. Amen.